With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good afternoon and welcome, everybody. This would be the Jeff Cameron Show right here on 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV. Great to be with you. As always, appreciate you joining us. I'm Jeff, that's Tom, there's Director Matthew. If you're watching on War Chant TV, do not forget to like, subscribe, share, celebrate, whatever it might be. Man, did I take Munoz today? You know if I took Munoz today? Look at this guy. He's 11 under today.
What course are they playing?
TPC Craig Ranch, McKinney, Texas.
TPC Mini Golf?
It is. I do have Hideki Matsuyama. He's having a good day, too. He's at minus six. No wins today, friend. No wins. So they're just taking aim and getting after it. But, yeah, damn. Have yourself a day, Mr. Munoz. That's no way to start the show. That was unscripted. I wasn't trying to do that. I know that we have audio, and I'm excited about said audio, in which Jim Phillips, speaking at the ACC kickoff, or at ACC meetings, I should say, kickoffs later on in July when we go to Charlotte. I look forward to that.
We'll be on Radio Row for that one.
The ever-exciting Radio Row. Yeah, we will. We will. But you know, I don't know about you, and we'll play some of this, but I thought, you know, the high praise for the calculated ways and clarity with which Jim Phillips was said to have dealt with delicate issues while at Northwestern and all throughout his time there and trying to convince the donors of that school that is largely built around and centers around academia to invest in athletics and then make a state-of-the-art facility for their football program was what people were excited about when he became the commissioner of the ACC, that he was able to win the hearts and minds of people who might be on the other side of the aisle from major endeavors, things that they thought were very important to do. And he was a politician in that sense, but very convincing, very, very smart guy. And I think that came across in his 30-minute press conference yesterday. I thought he was insightful. I thought he handled the questions well, and I thought he sounded like a guy that has a plan. I didn't expect to hear a guy who sounded like he had a plan. He does.
He also, to me, like in those first 15 minutes or so, sounded like a dude who has FML over his head. Like, what do you want from me? Basically, it's like, what do you want
in the beginning?
From me? Yeah, yeah, because there are limitations that no 30-minute press availability to Mealy Island are going to fix. Like, he doesn't have the answer that everybody's looking for, but he has strategies to help navigate, at least in the interim, until there are greater answers, maybe for the sport of college football from a different committee or from the NCAA at large. But by the end of it, he spoke with a little bit more vigor about some things that could be coming down the pike, which I thought was interesting.
Well, one of the reasons that I appreciated him was the transparency with which he spoke. I can't speak today. It's not Wednesday, Jeff. It's Thursday. And that is that, look, when he's talking about even just the scheduling model and changing it, you know, and people were asking, well, what's the time frame? When will you know? And, you know, they're pushing that. He's like, He basically told you the coaches and the presidents and the athletic directors have agreed to basically go to that 355 model that we talked about, but he wanted to speak with ESPN. He didn't even sugarcoat that. He's like, well, we want to talk with our business partners, our television partners. It's a 50-50 relationship. We want to speak with them. Yeah, basically, we're going to find out, is this going to help us make more money? I'm going to ask ESPN. That's what he basically told you. Okay, good, because there's no need to sugarcoat any of this. Any decision the ACC makes about their headquarters, about where to play the damn basketball tournaments in the future, about schedule models, you name it, has to be centered around revenue, has to be centered around ways to grow revenue. He didn't beat around the bush with that. He basically said, yes, we have to explore and talk with ESPN, our television partner, our 50-50 partner, ways to help generate revenue. That's a quote unquote ways to generate revenue. You're damn right. That's what you're tasked to do now, is get us out from under this massive weight, which is not allowing the schools in this conference and will not allow the schools in this conference to compete long term. They have to rid themselves of this and give themselves every opportunity to be, if not on equal footing, something close to. And so I don't know. Swofford wouldn't have done that. You wouldn't have heard that. He would have mealy-mouthed this whole damn thing and never told you a thing. He would have told you that there was no call for schedule remodeling, that there is nothing at this time. He never said anything. So you at least had a guy who, first time he gets before the assembled press at this meeting, and he's like, yeah, we got to talk with ESPN to figure out ways to make more money. Our schedule changes that we've talked about the last 2 days that have been written about, yeah, you know, read between the lines here. The coaches agree with it. I agree with it. We want to do it. Let's talk with ESPN. Thank you. Thank you. Let's go. Let's do that. So there was that, and he did talk about that. He talked also about the possibility of sort of a subdivisions, I think is the way that he described it. And I think that's smart, too. I'm glad he didn't lament or sound in any way forlorn about the direction of college football. I've heard a lot of that over the last several months. We all have. It doesn't do you any good. As you have noted, Tom, they're not putting the genie back in the bottle. There's no going back, and he knows that. There just has to be some regulatory body, enforcement arm of the NCAA, something that allows for folks to adhere to unilateral rules where everybody is operating under the same guidelines, which they are currently not. You can't compete when nobody knows what the rules are.
Well, and that's the problem. He had back-to-back statements in which he said, we need federal legislation. It's not a priority for them.
They're not coming. Right. They're not coming to save the day.
Help is not coming. So if it's left to the conferences and you've got different rules among different conferences, that still presents issues. But I think what he's looking for is empowerment. He's on that transformation committee with the NCAA, which has some radical ideas.
Yes. Like we talked about it last week.
Yes, cap limits on staffs, which is crazy to me. That feels like that would be a very SEC and Big Ten talking point and not an ACC talking point. But he is present in those discussions about the future of the sport. And what's interesting, and we'll get into some of the audio as the show goes on, but what's interesting is he believes that the NCAA is going to be torn down in terms of manpower at
Shrunk.
The top. It's going to be trimmed down, and then hopefully what he's looking for is either the NCAA itself or a third-party group is going to be the enforcement wing of the NCAA, because obviously there is no enforcement wing of the NCAA. They suck at it.
Well, okay, so to that point, meeting head-on the talking points of what the NCAA has failed to do and what they did do was an early part of his conversation, which is to say, look, we've got to trim the NCAA. We've got to figure out what we want them to do. Do we want them to do anything? Should they exist? We think they should. In this capacity, they do quite well, and that is running the championships. They've done very well putting on the championships. There are a couple instances, and he noted it. He's specifically talking about the women's tournament.
Well, there was a red light that went off in his brain, like, except for that time that Emmert was an ass.
Yeah, well, and you could tell he has no love lost for that guy. But the point would be, as he noted, he's like, for the most part, the NCAA in putting on their championships and all of the sports we're talking about, something the ACC is great in, lacrosse to whatever, football, right? That they've done a good job. And so do we want them to continue to do that? It's been, obviously, the NCAA tournament has been a massive profit center. So, yeah, they can keep doing that. It's one of the great tournaments in the world. You know, I mean, that's fair to say. So let them do that. And then do we have an enforcement arm under the banner of the NCAA? Maybe we do, maybe we don't. Maybe that's something we trim and we have an outside entity come in and do that and regulate the programs.
Yahoo Sports.
See those bastards knocking on your door, run for the hills. So there it is, right? And then he also said, yes, we already see where football, big-time college football, has begun to separate itself, but I don't predict that there is going to be a separation. Everybody talks about the Power Five leaving the NCAA, leaving the current setup. He doesn't see that happening in the next 5 to 6 years for a variety of reasons, but what he does see is potentially setting up subdivisions to where people competing against one another for national championships, and this is why he wanted the federal government to get involved, by the way, because there's a fairness aspect to this and a national entity. But the point would be they would be in a shared, or it would coalesce around revenue streams that are similar. So if you play at Marshall, you'd be playing somebody who's akin to Marshall. You wouldn't be playing Alabama, you know. And so there's that.
Right. What was interesting about that is he was talking out of both sides of his mouth at different points of the press availability. Because at one point he says, I believe that the 10 FBS divisions should all be together, not necessarily Power 5, Group of 5. Like, those 10 should all be together. But then he also is talking about subdivisions. So which is it? Because to me, subdivisions would say Group of 5, you're over here. There's Division 1AA, the old 1AA, yeah, which is the FCS now. That's over here.
But those were all under the umbrella of the NCAA.
Right, but now we've got Power 5 over here. So it's almost like he does want to break up Power 5 into its own subdivision of Division 1, and then I get cross-eyed hearing about that. But I think in the end, it sounds like he wants the big earning conferences to exist as one thing.
Yeah, and he wants, it sounds like, or he's willing to listen to the idea of the CFP running it. Football's national championship is not run by the NCAA. It's run by College Football Playoff. It's the CFP. It already is. So they could do that.
Right. It's not that monumental of a change. We actually talked about this on Monday. If you could reclassify, and that's where I think he stops. I don't think he wants a reclassification because then you're talking about Title IX implications going away and then a unionization of players, which he was not for at all.
He wasn't,
at Northwestern.
But you noticed that he wasn't as gung-ho this time around.
Correct. Yeah. Well, he understands the way that things are going. But I don't know that he's for that total reclassification. For me, I think it makes the most sense to put football on its own and then the NCAA exists for everything else, including March Madness, which is where the NCAA makes all of its money, is on specifically March Madness. And also, if you read business reports about that and what Mark Emmert did or did not do, they left hundreds of millions of dollars on the table.
On the table.
With the negotiations and the renewals with March Madness instead of maximizing like every other sports entity does.
It's crazy.
Otherwise, they might be more palatable for a basketball-only institution, say St. Joseph's up in Philadelphia. They might be like, all right, yeah, football, you do what you're going to do, because March Madness is enough. It's lucrative
for us,
enough for us.
Yeah. Carol asked the question right out the jump here. Who else would you like to see on the three we play every year if that happens? Clemson, Miami, and who else? Well, it's funny because yesterday on the show I said, man, looks like we're getting the shaft. If you got Clemson and Miami and then whatever slappy you want to throw in there for your third, you're playing two of the possible preeminent forces of the ACC. If Miami is going to spend like they appear to want to and invest and have the football cachet that they do, if they're ever really good again, you know, you're going to play them every year regardless, and I'm for that. I want to play them every year. I wouldn't back away from that. But if you're also playing Clemson, man, and you're trying to win the ACC, damn. Can we throw, like, Duke? My answer is Duke. I'd like to play Duke every year.
I'd take Clemson out of that rotation, and it's not necessarily for fear of Clemson as an FSU fan because these things tend to be cyclical. Clemson was, you know, dead and gone for 30, 40 years.
Yeah, they didn't matter.
But if you're the ACC, when do you want Florida State to play Clemson? when do you want those two brands to clash? Do you want it to be in October, or would you prefer it in December when something's on the line?
Yeah.
What gives you the best chance for those two programs, or even Miami and Clemson, whatever it is, what gives you the best chance? That you don't have all three of them playing in a pool in the regular season. You need to spread those out. Like, so for me, it would be something like Georgia Tech, Miami, and NC State. There you go. There are three, and it's not like you're ducking Clemson for years at a time.
Because there's no longer divisions, you can play them in the ACC championship game.
That's what I'm saying, and that's leverage for the ACC. That's a better rated product in December.
But if you're selling it to TV, they're going to say, no, we want a regular season. If you're ESPN, you want assurances that Florida State's playing Virginia Tech, Miami, Clemson, like the teams with viability nationally.
100%. I hear that point, but my counterpoint would be, would you rather have more interest from those markets for longer in the season? Because guess what? FSU NC State or FSU North Carolina is now much more interesting if they didn't get blown out by Clemson in October. Like, so if that game happens around Halloween, now people want to watch that game because there's something at stake. Florida State is still in the ACC title hunt, and so is Clemson. Yeah.
I'm excited about the possibility of this shift. I mean, lost in all of the money conversation, and I get that's the bigger, more important, pressing issue is the money, and it will be forevermore and always is. But if we're just getting down to the collegial, what's left of the collegial nature of college football and fandom of college football and campuses and traditions, man, I love getting rid of the divisions and switching this thing up and getting an opportunity to play all these teams. I mean, I think if I were a student athlete, I'd really love it, knowing that when I signed on, I'd have a chance to play every team in my conference before my 5 years, 4 years were up. That's exciting, I think. And it's exciting for me as a fan. Again, this is not burying my head in the sand. I get what's important. I'm just saying, man, I love the idea of being able to go to places we never get to go to, that we never see, to travel to all these different schools.
This is where the Big 12 model, before obviously the poaching came down, I wish we could shrink the sport down into divisions. And maybe that's the future of the Super Conference, is you shrink it down into divisions of 10, subdivisions. And so if we're in the southeast of a Super Conference existence, here's Auburn, Florida, Florida State, Clemson, whatever.
Woo!
You play everybody in your division like the Big 12 has for a long time. Or you play everybody in your conference, I should say. That's the way the Big 12 does it. And then you rematch with whoever it is, but it's a perfectly balanced schedule. It's fair. It's as fair as it gets. Because what's going to happen in the 3-5-5 model is inevitably somebody's going to be in
some
that championship
years you're
game. And the rotation is North Carolina, Duke, and Syracuse or something along those lines. You're like, that's not real. That's not real. That's not indicative of who the best in the ACC is.
Yeah. Well, you also know, though, that in the current situation, teams are more willing to suffer losses, and there is more leeway in that you lose two games, you're not out of the college football playoff if, in fact, they expand the college football playoff. You won't be. Even now, you're not technically, but, that you if you get this thing to 12 like they're talking about eventually, okay, I'll live with it. You can go 10-2 and make the college football playoff, and if you're the best team and you had the hardest schedule, thus you suffered a couple of blemishes, you'll prove yourself. It'll be all right. Then I'd be all for it. You know what? You want to schedule out of conference? We got Notre Dame, Clemson this year. Let's go.
Well, that's where part and parcel, if you expand that way, the alliance, that scheduling alliance. Remember that thing? That didn't really come up too much at Amelia Island, but that's where that would kick in.
I would have taken to the dais with the shirt.
Alliance?
The alliance.
With the ACCA.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, look at that.
I would have made up a title for it different than what they came up with. I would have worn a shirt that just said Grand Alliance. Good to see everybody here.
It's a picture of the Emperor from Star Wars on there.
Grand Alliance. It's a picture of me leading the Grand Alliance. Hello, fellow members of the Grand Alliance.
Well, that's where it would kick in and be valuable, is if the playoff expands, then you're willing to go play whoever, whenever. Who cares?
Yeah, that would be great. Yes, if you get this to that place, which we probably will in our lifetime, maybe the next 10 years.
Before the show is done. That's right.
Before
you retire.
Before I retire from the airwaves. Don't know when that is.
You're not opting from early retirement or early retirement.
No, and we don't work in an industry where that where people would come in and be like, Jeff, we would like you to take early retirement. We're willing to. There's no people coming to suggest that to me.
That war chant money's for real, though, dude.
Yeah, but I need them to come. All right, Gene, you want me to retire early and provide nothing for you? Sure. Send the cash my way and I'll take it to the house.
What the super chats are for.
It's the Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
She used to be our pain and burn, yeah.
Ah, good song. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. It's Jeff Cameron Show. Yeah, you... Don't you know not a bad word. Rick Rubin produced that record. Name a record in the last 40 years he hasn't produced, it seems like, right? There's lots of them, I know, but in a pretty eclectic mix of artists. That he's...
Probably Wilco.
Probably.
Was Rubin in on Wilco?
I don't think so. No, wasn't. But Wilco's got a new record coming out.
What?
Yeah, they announced it a couple days ago. Yeah, I'm very excited.
Well, now.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm good. Yeah, excited. Very excited.
They still got something in the tank.
Of course. Well, when you're as artistic as he is, yeah. Hey, so, you know, I thought of something. Somebody mentioned here on the chat that the ACC is going to be playing Tuesday nights instead of Maction in a few years. You know, obviously a tongue-in-cheek statement, but it is kind of funny. And it occurred to me, is there any sub-level of a sport? Like, that's what I look at when I think of, like, we used to tease USF. Because they'd throw their asses on a Wednesday night. Like, whenever ESPN decided to get creative and try to add football games, obviously, because that's the draw. Live sports is where it's at. They would just, but they'd tab sorry-ass USF. They'd be like, well, you're a nothing program. We'll throw your ass on a Wednesday at 4. You know, and we'd tease them about that because they thought they were in the same realm, but they weren't. They had a cup of coffee for a minute there when they beat Auburn, and that was a big deal, but then they were useless. And now they've been passed over by UCF 10 times over. Really of no significance, USF. So I bring that up to take shots at USF and their fans, but also because if you're a fan of a team, so, you know, I pay attention to and root for East Tennessee State for obvious reasons. But I know that East Tennessee State is never going to play for a national championship. You know, the way that we see Florida State, or these days, Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, specifically those.
Only them. Only them.
That's right.
That's it.
That's it. Yeah, throwing in a Clemson every now and again, right? So, there's the two separate realities there. And if you embrace, and in a lot of people who went to small schools are listening to this and they know exactly what I'm talking about. If you went to a small school and your school has football, then you might just be satisfied watching week to week, hoping they beat, you know, Georgia Southern, and they win the Southern Conference, and they knock out the Citadel, and, you know, whatever it might be, right? And it can be exciting. Like, you know, that's the brand of football you're watching. It's different than when you watch others. And you can be locked in, like, really care. I mean, you haven't really done this with Iona because, you know, you weren't there very long and you didn't have a good experience.
Well, yeah. And they shut down the football program anyway.
But what I'm saying is, in basketball, you don't go home, race home on a Wednesday because Iona's tipping against whomever.
No, I'll check in on them when they do the MAC tournament and that's it.
Right. Yeah. But there are plenty of people who do follow schools like that religiously the way we follow Florida State, right? Where they go home and they're like, I'm going to watch this team. I mean, you know, they pull it up on their phone. These days, you can watch all those small teams.
Why do I feel like you're about to be read from Shawshank and you're about to institutionalize Florida State?
Yeah. No. What I'm telling you is there, like, if that happened, if Florida State was relegated to a different status, could you get excited knowing that we were once in the promised land and have now been cast out?
Maybe in my 60s, but not any time between now and then.
Well, and I'll tell you why I thought about it. Not because I think that's about to happen, and not because I believe long-term this is where Florida State shall reside. I do think temporarily this is where we are residing, period. We are not right now. anywhere close to competing for the national championship. Now, you want to do something to pour cold water on yourself. We talk all the time about Florida State taking the next step and getting to 500, getting past 500, going bowling, finishing the year ranked. There is a world of difference between, this is akin to breaking 100, maybe shooting 89, 88, or scratch, right? Like, now all of a sudden you're a one handicap or you're even, right? Big difference. You know, big difference. Well, if Florida State gets back to 8-4, 7-5, we'll be happy-ish for now, but it's a stepping stone, right? It's just a stepping stone. This is not ultimately something to revel in.
I've got some cold water for you, too, after you make your point.
Well, but okay.
It's about Mike.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, I'll back to this. Okay, hold on. So that happens, let's say, right? What would have happened if Florida State played Georgia last year?
Nothing good.
They could have named their score?
Yeah.
You think Georgia's good enough they could have pretty much named their score?
I don't know about that because their offense went through a lot of struggles. But it's not like we would have put 10 on the board. You know, I think no, we would have been lucky to put 10 on the board.
Very.
Yeah.
I mean, yes.
Yeah, it might have been like 42-6, something like that.
Yeah, it would have been ugly.
With our pass rush, you know, we might have caused some issues where they had to punt a couple times from the 50 after a couple first downs, that kind of thing. But only a couple times.
It would have been ugly.
Yeah. It wouldn't have been within 30.
Now, somebody rightfully could say, hey, Jeff, I watched Clemson and Georgia play a near standstill to start the year. Georgia barely beat Clemson. We had the lead in the fourth quarter on the road against Clemson. What do you mean we couldn't compete? Yeah, come on. Yeah, that... I guess it is fair to argue when you play them matters, you know. But if you'd played them, say, by week 6 or 7, I think that would have been problematic. Very problematic. What if we played Ohio State last year?
They were a little bit more gettable. You might have only lost by 24-28 in that game.
Yeah, four touchdowns. Probably lose by 4 touchdowns.
Probably, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. More gettable.
Right, Alabama.
It depends.
Yeah. 4 touchdowns. What kind of touchdowns?
Yeah, what kind of mood is Nick in?
Mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is Nick in a 28-7 good enough today mood?
Long ways away.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Stark reality, the cold water. Okay, well, all right. If that were the reality moving forward, that we were not on that plane anymore, and then instead of going and watching us compete against those teams, but rather you were taking on Virginia Tech and North Carolina. And teams like that, and we were all right there about the same level. Could you go into Doak knowing that we're here, we're not here, we're not playing for this up here. We used to exist in that world, but we don't anymore. We're now over here with other like-minded folk, and we don't have the same sort of resources, nor in some cases schools choose not to spend them all on that. So would you be able to do that and do so with fervor? Would you love it?
Sir, I work for warchant.com. Where are we going with this?
Well, I love the World Baseball Classic in a way that you don't. Like, I can't. Yeah. I love it.
And the President's Cup, too.
And I like it. I won't have you besmirching the President's Cup on these airwaves. But what I would tell you is that the World Baseball Classic, which had to take a break because of COVID, sadly, it's back. And they're going to have the World Baseball Classic in 2023.
Wait a minute. So this is all a ploy to bring up the World Baseball Classic?
Whenever I can. But the World Baseball Classic, which features 20 nations competing one another for the grand prize of winning the World Baseball Classic, a formidable prize indeed, that is returning in 2023. And I have been to World Baseball Classic games, and I have shared in the joy that they bring with many people from different nations. And it's been a grand time. I have embraced it. Now, is it the same as Major League Baseball? No. Is it the same as winning the World Series for my beloved Pittsburgh Pirates? No.
Oh, my God.
But do I love the World Baseball Classic? I do. I do love the world. So I just
so Florida
to think,
State is the World Baseball Classic.
No. But maybe we're headed that direction. Maybe this is a secondary thing that we're headed towards.
You would not be as willing to concede that when you were my age as you are when, you know, hey, if you ride it out for the next 10 years and this is where we're going, no big deal.
I just don't spend a lot of time denying the realities of situations anymore. I don't have that time that I once had when you're referencing me in my 20s. Time was on my side.
Yeah. It is right now, too, because if that's the reality, you'll be gone and we'll be left to deal with it at War Chant or the next iteration of War Chant. Here's my cold water, though. The interesting thing for Mike Norvell, here's the weird reality. His path to the playoff was easier in his last institution than it is right here. Think about that, because Cincinnati just made it.
Yeah.
And they were every bit as good as Cincinnati by the time he had left. Now, I don't know what was coming up recruiting-wise for Mike, but Memphis had game day in their home stadium, outside their home stadium, for the game against Cincinnati. I'm assuming something crazy just came up on the chat, given the way that you guys looked at each other.
I was clicking. He was clicking to post it. I was clicking to unpost it, and we were laughing.
I see.
This, my man, P. Simpson, wrote, "The Jeff Cameron Show, you're home for the World Baseball Classic and President's Cup coverage."
There it is.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
But do you think Mike is driving down the parkway someday, and he's like, you know, the Tigers were closer to the playoff than my Noles are. What the hell?
I don't think so. I think he's thinking about retaining his job. I think he spends a lot of time trying to figure out ways, and thankfully he spends a lot of time trying to figure out ways to get us to where we need to be quickly in order for him to retain his job. Now, I don't think the motivation is solely, like, I never come to work thinking about ratings, and ratings then in turn ensure that I have a job, right? I never do that. Like, I never, A, we get awesome ratings, have forever. So I'm not worried about it. But B, that's not why you do it, right? You do the show. It's your job. You love it. There are aspects of it that you want to perfect. There are things you're chasing that you can never achieve. All that, right? So I don't think Mike Norvell's driving down the road thinking, man, I make over $5 million a year. I need to keep this job. That's just the reality of the job, right? That I think he's thinking of ways to make the program a lot better. I think he's thinking of how can we win games a little bit quicker, because he knows that that is the impetus for them to have real success, right? Just, you know, just get to 8-9 wins. You might be able to bring in the kinds of players that then allow you to access what I was just lamenting, and that is, we don't play on the same stratosphere anymore as Alabama and Georgia and Ohio State and some others. We don't. We're not there. Hell, we can't even finish third in the Atlantic. We suck. So he's got to get us to that place, and then maybe you have a chance to start thinking about the big stuff.
One thing I learned about you today is you've never had to build a beautiful project on ratings, and you don't understand the joy that comes with a ratings report from top to bottom.
You were not here when I had to build that. You were barely alive when I first started having to build that.
You had to do ratings reports for the whole station?
No, I never had to do ratings reports. I was responsible for getting good ratings, which would be brought up. Those reports would be brought up.
Yeah.
I was held accountable in that way early on. No, but I did not have to write a ratings report. Tom.
Then you'd understand how amazing it is, and it's the best part of the job.
No, I would just ask you when you finished your ratings report, how'd we do? That's what I would do. And you're like, we did quite well. Here, here, and here. Need to get better here. Gotcha. I'd walk out the door. That's how that went.
Because it's gospel. I mean, you know, they have it nailed down to a science. It's down to a 1-to-1 ratio. It's unbelievable.
Oh, man. Anyhow, hey, listen. You got to be willing to dance in all pools. You got to find out. You got to be like, okay.
Dance to the war chant.
This is not an Olympic-sized pool, but it is nice, cool water nonetheless. I can be happy here.
It sounds like a concession speech from you.
No.
You're done? You're saying we're done? Nevermore.
Until changes are made, and I'm not talking about our head coach. I'm talking about the financial structure. Until that shifts, yes, Florida State is not competing for a national championship anytime soon.
And this was always our fate the moment we chose the ACC?
No. This became our fate when the television contracts got out of control and the SEC and the Big Ten dictated terms, and we, being a young university compared to most, we have always outkicked our coverage. We're actually a beacon of light. We are a shining example of what's possible when a lot of hardworking, smart people strive towards excellence and don't let no, don't take no for an answer. But what Bobby Bowden built is remarkable. We had no business being the better program over Florida. But that's exactly what we've been in a terribly short period of time.
We still are. They had a 50-year head start.
The problem is, while we can thump our chests about that, and we can tell everybody that we've achieved more in a relative short period of time compared to the vast majority of the other elite programs in college football, and that is true, The fact that we've walked alongside and surpassed the likes of LSU, Alabama, I shouldn't even include LSU there, Alabama, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Nebraska, and others in that 40-year window, 45-year window, is insane. Should have never happened. But we did do that. The problem is, while that was all possible then, it is not possible now because of the direction that college football has gone in terms of money. And now that you can't fall back on just those successes, but rather you need the cachet of a much deeper and richer, and I put the emphasis on richer, history as a university, because then you would have needed, what, another two generations of alumni to go on to become rich doctors and lawyers and whatever else that have given back to the university like they have at these other institutions that I've referenced that we just simply do not have?
That's the question about the great awakening of NIL, though, because I'd love to know the numbers, and I'm sure they won't share them openly. Maybe we can get an honest answer behind the scenes. But these NIL collectives, it seems like they're doing a very good job, at least initially, of getting the resources necessary. And I don't know if that is besmirching what the boosters have been doing for a long time, or if it's just because there's a new level of desperation because our fans are seeing the change, the seismic change in how the sport is getting it done. But it seems like grassroots-wise, there's a hell of a lot more money being infused into the collectives that we've just not tapped into as a booster community here. So it gives me hope that there might be resources to compete on the level of, if we want three or four football players, we're going to give you like really difference-making football players.
I believe that's possible.
In any given class, we can get those kids.
Yeah, but you can't get the depth of talent that Georgia has right now. They just had 15 freaking guys drafted. 15!
I'm not trying to do that right now. I'm trying to swim in the shallow pool. But we're not even swimming. We're standing in it.
I'm saying, I'm in the shallow pool, and I've embraced that we're in the shallow pool. I'd like to swim in the Olympic-sized pool, but that's not our reality right now. We just got to float about in the shallow pool for a while.
There might be a little doggy paddle coming, though, with the collective.
To like the 7 to 8 foot range.
There we go.
Yeah,
that's quite right.
To 12 feet or 15 feet. You can't dive off a diving board from here.
They've raised millions of dollars in essentially a month. That's not bad.
I'm not dogging them. I'm just telling you, no matter what they raise, it's going to be a far cry from what Notre Dame, Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, USC, Oklahoma can raise. We're not even close. We won't even be close.
Good enough to get three or four difference makers a year?
Yeah, but then when you go to the college football playoff, you're playing a team that's got 15 or 20 difference makers.
Man, I'm not looking at the top of the mountain. I'm looking at
in front of me. Okay, in the interim, then the fair. Well, we'll get back to where we started, which is that where can you get to? Well, Mike has got to get to 8-4. Can we start there? Then maybe you got a chance to look at 9 wins, 10 wins. And then when you get to – if you're living in the 10-win area code
– you're close.
You're very close. Now you've got – all right, can you get the right quarterback? When you get to the 10 wins.
Hear that, rising spear?
Yeah. Can you get the right quarterback? Well, we'll see. I mean, Georgia just won it in a weird way because Georgia's quarterback is whatever. I mean, let's be realistic. He's a nice player for what they are, but
they've yet to have their Jameis or their Deshaun.
Yeah, he's a whatever quarterback. He's not special in any
way. Well,
they did.
Fields went the other way.
ran him off because they chose to stick with the loser.
Because he got a hot hand,
that's
and they're like,
crazy.
We're screwed.
Yeah, they have a whatever quarterback. They just happen to have three incredible tailbacks, a loaded wide receiving core, and the best defense in the history of college football. That helps. That helps.
This ain't going to be the best defense in college football history this year, but you know what? This defense out here in Tallahassee might be able to play a little bit.
I like that you took the opportunity on the heels of me referencing Georgia's defense to include Florida State in the sentence.
Did you not hear the caveat in between? This isn't the greatest defense in the history of college football, but you know what? This defense might be all right. Might be all right
this
year.
I'm just saying it's an interesting time to make the point because this defense is going to be...
Well, it's because I don't care about Georgia. I care about us.
I care about us, too, but you have to care about the teams that you're trying to pass in order to become a college football playoff participant.
But Georgia's at the pole position.
Georgia's like right down the damn road.
But they're in the pole position of this race. We're in 60th. Yeah, I don't care about them. Let's pass Louisville. Let's really make sure we are actually past Syracuse and Louisville.
I agree with
and
that.
And Wake.
Yes.
You know, like these
we need
are the
to
teams.
Get to where we're comfortably past Syracuse, Wake,
right,
and these other slappies that we have no business thinking about.
We are not comfortably past Syracuse.
We're not comfortably past anybody.
Yeah.
Maybe Duke.
We'll fight that battle later. Right now, we're the Reds. You know, we got to be the Pirates next. You're in third place. That's not a shot. You're in third place.
And we also took two out of three from the Dodgers.
That's right.
Suck it, Dodgers. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. This has kind of been fun. Just an airing of the grievances in a way. And just a reality check for us all and sort of the, well, what's reasonable. Ryan made me laugh here on the chat. This is good. I'm getting to the age where I just tolerate things. FSU football is turning into the older wife. You're just comfortable with her being around and don't expect much.
Is that real? Is that a thing?
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. Oh, okay.
No, I think with age,
that was a gutsy admission.
No, no. I'm in love with my wife and happy that we are still together after all this time. What I'm saying is this. That is a reality. Like, you reach an age, and this is just more about age than it is the particular woman. You reach an age where you realize, Tom, for example, and you're pretty close to it, and you're married, and happily so. You know that when you walk on Florida State's campus, there's not a single student doing a double take on you. Like, you're not who they're after. That time has come and gone.
Everybody has a type.
Okay. Yeah. So the point would be that, you know, because you're a realist, that, you know, middle-aged man is not who they're looking at because they're 20 or 21.
Right. Also, I'm not going for a walk on campus.
It's just, right, it would be awkward, it'd be strange.
You'd have to pay me to do that. Right, yeah.
But okay, so the point is, because you're a realist and you're pragmatic, you know that's just the reality of the situation. Well, you know, you get to a certain age or in a stage in a relationship, it's not going to be like the first year you dated. First 3 years you dated. That's never going to happen again. Frankly, that's okay. We're beyond that.
Right, yeah.
We've matured to a place.
That would actually be strange.
Yes.
Yeah.
Stressful.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, good God, man, I just want to watch the game. What in the world? So, you know, that's...
That's why we got the band on, man. We're locked in.
That's just reality.
I'll be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
Leave me be.
Yeah. I want to watch the game. It's not a commentary on whether or not I find you attractive. It's not indicative of where we're at as a relationship and a partner. It's not. I want to watch the game. It's kickoff. What are we doing? Timing's everything. So
why does the vacuum come out during kickoff of the game? Yeah. We had the whole morning.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what I mean. Like, you get to a place where you're kind of like, that's all this is. That's all. My reality about Florida State right now is that I've got a long ways to go. I don't mind discussing it openly and honestly. I don't mind saying, here's where we're at. And unless something changes in the very near future, what we can expect them to be has shifted. It just has.
Yeah.
It has shifted. Yeah. And that's not being Debbie Downer. That is not me trying to have people brace for failure. No, you still hold the guy accountable. They got to be better than 5-7. There's no doubt about that.
Right. I think that expectation thing is on a two-year rolling basis, though. It's not your permanent fixture.
No,
right? I mean, that's the difference. Because sometimes it sounds like this is your lot in life, you're done.
Right, but what I'm telling you is that if the rules don't change and something doesn't change in terms of the possibility of more revenue, it's not just this school, it's really the schools of the ACC, but in particular this school, because, again, we don't have an IPTE fund. There's none of that here. We don't have Clemson money. Not even close.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, hell, we don't even have North Carolina money. So my point would be, because this has shifted to a place where your alumni and the depth of that alumni, meaning the years that have passed, do you have generations, plural, several generations of alumni that went on to produce mass wealth and return it to the university as a thank you, and obviously fully endowed scholarships for every, all that, do you have that? Because if you don't, you're at a disadvantage no matter what you've achieved that surpasses the schools that I'm referencing. Florida State has surpassed all of them on the football field in that way. But we don't have their money.
Right.
And that is the stark reality of our situation.
Our reward is that we get equal payouts with BC and Wake.
It sucks.
That's the reward for all of that work legitimizing this conference.
Well, and the problem is you wouldn't even bring that up because nobody cares that Vanderbilt gets the same cut as Alabama. In the SEC, they don't care that Kentucky and the rest of those slappies that do nothing year in and year out and never will get that money because they're swimming in money. We always bring it up because we're pissed that we're not swimming in money.
Yep. We're bringing it up for 10 years. And nothing's changed. We're still stuck. He does a lot less than I do at the job. Why does he get paid the same?
Yeah. Tough.
We're that guy in the office.
Well, don't do that, Phil. Sit back, keep
I'm working
kick,
less.
Kick your feet up.
That's right.
Yeah. We'll watch all the companies that do it right.
Raise tuition. There's your solution.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Hour number two, forthcoming. Stay with us. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.